Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Let's let some of the callers have their piece here at the top of the hour. And why not start with a familiar voice, one that we've been waiting to hear from, on this unfortunate day after the Knicks perform like that in Game 5. Omar is in Brooklyn. Omar? Omar? I mean, I couldn't give you a better setup, Omar.
I mean,
you come to the table
well
with
done.
This.
Come on, buddy.
Yeah. Omar, what are you sleeping on?
Come on.
God, come on.
No.
Let's go. Bring it.
Yeah. Okay, let me first. I was very, very nervous to call this at this particular time because I may break down today. I'm very, very sad for what happened last night. I do not have feelings right now. I love Tibbs. It's not that I have been critical about Tibbs, that he have a lot of holes in his coaching assets, and we have brought in, everybody has brought in it. But I think he's a hard-nosed coach, and the person that works hard, I want him to succeed. And sometimes there are some people that are tough, rigid, and they do not want to make their eyes open that that's their weakness and I can cover this weakness. Right. 3 years back, Sal, when you were overnight, I called you. You made fun of me on this because you did not like Evan Fournier. I said to you that they are making it wide open, Josh Hart. They are daring you to shoot that Josh Hart cannot win you a series. And Miami is doing that, and he does not change his stance. I said, the only guy that can shoot threes in that team, I understand that he has holes in his game. Duncan Robinson has holes in his game as a defensive player. Duncan Robinson from Miami Heat.
Yeah,
Fournier.
Listen to my point. Listen to my point.
Talk about Jeff Hornacek's role.
Duncan Robinson did not used to play. He was sitting on the bench. But when he saw that they cannot shoot three, he brought him in, and he lights up in the fourth quarter, and he win the game for it. The thing now in this series, I am telling you right now, you can call it, I have seen every game this year. The thing is, at some time of the game, there are moments in this game when you have the momentum, but we cannot make a three. Bridges cannot make it, Ananobi cannot make it, Brunson cannot make it, and Josh Hart cannot make it.
Okay.
McBride is not making it, and Carpe neither. So you took it out one way. I'm telling you, you have to change out of your senses. The only spot-up shooter that can shoot the ball when they have at the moment, I don't want him 20 minutes. I want 5 or 10 minutes taken out from Bridges when he's not shooting, mm-hmm. and 5 or 10 minutes taken out from Josh Hart. Put Shamet in. He is the shooter that you need. I'm telling you, won't he give me 5 minutes? 5 minutes of Shamet to shoot? They will win this game.
I don't want 5 seconds of Shamet.
You have to break your
He's a hondo.
Omar,
I've seen last year.
Forget Duncan Robinson. Forget Fournier. Okay. Omar, of all the stuff to focus on last night and in the series, you're worried about Landry Shamet?
No, because my thing is, it's his ego that is. I understand. I love Josh Hart. That's my favorite player. I have all, but the problem is that they are daring him to shoot. The moment is you break your momentum, something out of the natural, you have to dig deep to make it happen.
Omar, hold on one second, buddy. What is Minnesota doing in that team? I have to ask you a serious question here, pal.
Okay.
So what you're doing right now, we call giving a pass or passing the buck. You talk about everybody, but the main problem, which is the coach, who you seem to still love, it's Thibodeau.
Thibodeau has holes in his game, but you cannot say that he doesn't know that he's
wanting to. He's kept his best player on the bench.
Pat Riley. Let me ask you a question. In 1993, everybody wants, there was a Hubert Davis that was a better shooter than John Starks. I love John Starks, right? I love John Starks.
We all do.
That's why we all do.
Yep.
But everybody said now, if they would have put Hubert Davis, we would have won that series. He would not have gone one because he took him there. So Pat Riley say, he took me there. This doesn't work in today. Look, and you tell me that this team is a pretty team? Jimmy Gento and Julius Randle been healthy. You see what he can do? And he can punch LeBron James. Come on. I am a bulldozer. Stop me if you can. And he was never healthy last 3 years in the playoffs. Knicks fan, you are hearing it. If the Knicks lose this series and Julius Randle beat the mighty Los Angeles Lakers with Luka, and you will regret that trade forever. You are regretting Bridges for 5 years ever. You will regret that kind of Julius Randle is a bully. You need a full star there with Draymond. That's why you're not winning this series. Yeah. This series is over.
All right, Omar. Yeah. Oh, series is over. He said they're not winning the series. And thank you for the call, Omar.
So we got Fournier, we got Duncan Robinson, we got Shamet, we got Julius Randle. A great summary is only Omar can provide there. Omar. Do you think he watches the games by himself?
I think with his kids. He used to tell me he watches with his kids.
Or does? How old are the kids? I hope they're old enough to know that it's okay to be nuts.
That I don't know, but we love his passion and his knowledge for the game. So, I think you could be on the side, if you're a believer in Julius Randle, and I love Julius Randle, I wish we would have gotten to see what this Knicks team could have done a year ago fully healthy. We unfortunately were robbed of that because of the injuries to Randle, to Ananobi, obviously Brunson in the end, but they were so banged up, we never saw what that team could do. Remember, I didn't have the ceiling on them until Randle went down. And when Randle went down, then I capped their ceiling saying they didn't have enough talent.
Mm-hmm.
However, I still was on board with the trade with Kat because I just believe Kat is a better, more talented player than Julius Randle. But we're seeing some flaws in this group. I'm not going to go to Omar's extent and say that. And basically, Omar's answer was Landry Shamet. More Landry Shamet than shoot the three.
Landry Shamet.
That's not the answer to me. But does it mean that does that Cat trade just because I liked it and maybe some others like it? Does it mean that that was the right move and breaking up the Randle Knicks? I don't know.
It was the right move because, listen, with all due respect to Omar and all due respect to all the massive Julius Randle fans out there, and I was one of them. I mean, I respected it. He played hard for us, and I'm never going to forget that. But just because the Knicks are on the brink of maybe choking or whatever, and not doing what some people thought they could do and what we all want them to do, let's not recreate or misremember the Julius Randle experience.
In a postseason.
It was a lot of, bouncing of the ball, banging it.
But he
wasn't always hurt.
The first year he had nobody around him.
Wasn't a great defense.
He was hurt against Miami.
He was tough. I get that. And I love him. I do respect him. He was a ball monopolizer, pound it into the ground, kind of a chucker.
Right, but think about it.
Not winning a championship.
Some of us, you included, pick on Carl Anthony Towns for his postseason performance.
It's different. I definitely do, but it's not like, I think Julius's shortcomings were because he wasn't a fully polished player. I think Carl Anthony Towns' shortcomings are because, number one, he's a little slow. He just moves in slow motion. Yeah. And number two, he's not as demonstrative or as tough as Randle. If I could take Julius's heart and Julius's toughness And I'm not saying Kat's off. He's showing some signs this series, but he was asleep last
night.
Harris.
He went to Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris.
Big DM deal. He wanted somebody who's 4 inches taller than 50 pounds.
But now we're picking on his toughness and saying, well, it's...
No, so I'm picking on his production. He was invisible last night.
I don't know if he was invisible.
He had 17 points.
Yeah. Okay, what did Brunson have?
Yeah, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, Bud, you're going to go based off of points? Carl Anthony Towns wasn't invisible.
But you had the big three, and that was it. Who's got more equity here, Brunson or Carl Anthony Towns?
Towns is getting going, but it can't be selective. And now I'm going to say he's not tough enough because he picked on Tobias Harris, who's not his size. Well, who is his size exactly? Harris and him were chirping. Harris is the one who called him out going soft. He went at him last night very good. He showed some
tough. Did he score 30? Did he have 15 rebounds? He went at him. He had 17 points. I mean, he went at him. I mean, I know that you tried to go. I'm not saying that he didn't try to accept the challenge, but he didn't really deliver. I mean, we're going to get on the air and throw platitudes at this guy for dropping 17 points in an elimination game at the Garden?
He was better than Brunson last night.
I'm not saying he wasn't, but for me, Jalen Brunson could have two or three bad games in a row, and Jalen Brunson's my guy. Like, there's no way I'm going to ever jump off the Jalen Brunson ship because I've seen enough, and I believe in him, and I believe in Cat, but I want to believe in him more, and I have to get there, and I get there, I will get there if I get better performances than last night. I'm not saying that Jalen Brunson played well. Right. Nobody played well.
But the point is that if you could pick apart Carl Anthony Towns, you could pick apart Randall in the postseason. Like, there is no perfect player, so... We got robbed of what the Randall-led Knicks or Randall and Brunson-led Knicks could have done in the postseason a year ago. He's no longer here. I think you look back at it and see what Minnesota's doing in the postseason this year, to Omar's point. Maybe you could have some remorse. I don't. I still think it was the right move. And ultimately, Towns and Brunson will give the Knicks their best shot. I think it's the other players that are the bigger problem. Chris is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Chris?
Guys, first of all, Omar from Brooklyn needs to have a weekly spot on your show. He was absolutely great. I'd love to hear when the Mets get into a losing streak, him bring up some Mike Piazza home runs and stuff like that.
Is he a Mets or a Yankees fan, Sal? Is he a Mets fan?
I think he's Mets.
I don't know. I like Sal, BT, Sal, and Omar. I think it should be a three-man crew in there because that was just fantastic radio, guys. How nobody has brought up the point that on McBride's second free throw miss, which he has to miss on purpose, and he missed it gritty. Why is Brunson crashing when you need a three? Why is McBride not back after he shoots the ball? Why is he not going back? You have Mitchell Robinson and Carl Anthony Towns in there.
Yep.
You know that they have to tap the ball back because you need a three, not a two. Instead, everyone is up by the free throw line, and Ian Eagle says... He taps the ball out, and nobody's there.
Okay, Chris, hold on.
How is that possible?
Good. Well, I'm going to tell you. Do you believe that Tom Thibodeau told them to go where they were supposed to go? I mean, to me, that's a coaching thing.
They have to know. I'm sorry. Guys, they have to know what to do. You have to know what to do.
I understand
that. There was confusion, as you know, Chris, and thank you for the call. There was confusion at the end of that.
But there shouldn't be, and I don't think there would have been confusion.
Who's subbing in? Who's subbing out?
No, I know. Yeah. But the confusion should be, Sal, eliminated by the coach.
Right.
Like, the chaos is one thing when the ball's around, and you got to trust the player to go to where I told you to go. And inherently, and Brunson's a very high IQ player, inherently, innately, you should know where to go, but... It's also, just remind them, just in case. And if Tom Thibodeau did remind them and they didn't do it, then that's clearly on the players. But I would bet, or I would venture to guess, based on how they looked, that they didn't know what to do. And I think that's on the coach.
I don't think Tibbs had his finest 2 minutes or whatever you want to say right there. The chaos at the end, I was confused as to what the hell was going on, who's subbing in, who's going to be at the line. But how about this? How about McBride hits the first free throw?
That would be nice.
I mean, come on.
Without that, you have no shot.
Okay, so but that's why there's always more to the story.
I understand that.
We could focus on Tibbs and how bad it was to not call that timeout. We could focus on what I think was a bad decision from Bridges with 50 seconds left to not pass the ball to a wide open Anunoby. We could talk about the free throw. Like, there's many layers to it. To meet you in the middle, you know me, I've been a big Tibbs supporter, and I do believe in him, and I want to see him get another opportunity. Last night, to me, was such a bad loss that I would be okay with anything that happens beyond today or this series.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, if you wanted to trade Bridges or Anunoby or shake this thing up, if you wanted to fire Tibbs and get a new coach in here, I'm all for it.
You wouldn't trade Brunson. Just making sure. When you say anything, I just want to make sure there's limits to anything.
No, that I wouldn't do.
Okay.
But honestly, like, I don't believe, ultimately, and I hate... This actually pains me to say it because I said last year I would not trade Brunson for any player in the NBA.
He did say that.
And I stand by that. I love him that much.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Karl-Anthony Towns a lot more than you do. I love Karl-Anthony Towns. But at my core, I don't believe that Brunson and Kat are good enough superstars to win a championship. So now, how are you going to fix that? I don't know. Like the thought
you
got to
fix what's around them.
Yeah, but that's my point. The thought of trading Brunson never entered my mind. I'm talking about.
I'm just make sure when you say anything, I just want to make sure.
But
you know.
but I mean, if there were the right trade, and
like Luka, I mean, obviously last year,
him I wouldn't want either, Luka. But
wow,
you know, I'm just.
I guess we're connected. To Jalen's our guy,
right? But it doesn't mean that I wouldn't trade him if there were a superstar piece. But that was not the point of me saying that. My point was that I'd be okay with the head coaching change. I'd be okay with some of the pieces changing here. Not to go nuts with it because you still want to see this core take their run at it. But ultimately, I think they're going to fall short. Even with a different coach, even with better role players, I still don't. Then I think you'd get to a point where you know, okay, we did everything we could around Brunson and Kat. And I still think they would ultimately fall short, but I'd at least like to see them get that opportunity.
You think they win this series?
I do. You don't? I know, but
Can't say yes.
I know honestly, what you're saying.
I can't say no.
They're not going to lose another game at home. They can't.
I think there's going to be a game seven. Yeah. Let me put it that way. They're going to lose. I think they're going to lose game six.
In my mind, they've already lost. That's kind of the point before I said it doesn't matter. I feel like they've already lost, even if they win in six or seven.
No.
But I cannot imagine this team. I can see them losing in Detroit. I can see them winning too. I cannot see them losing a game seven at home to Detroit. But even at that point, I remember going through this with the Rangers years ago. Like, oh yeah, that's great. All right, you beat the Penguins in seven. Like in the first round, if you want to win the Stanley Cup, you got to sometimes bury these teams early.
That's right.
To give yourself a breather to have a real chance. So even though you won in seven, you moved on. It was already a lost cause at that point.
And also, the Knicks are coming in. Like we can't quantify this, but. Not only are their legs going to be heavy because they're playing more games and the Celtics are off their feet, that's the obvious, but the amount of times the Knicks have hit the floor, the amount of body blows that they've absorbed, like, they're going to come in even more physically diminished to the next series than anybody could imagine.
Right. And that's the
problems here.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More calls on the other side. 888-808-101.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching. Phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nine. We got a lot of Knick fans here who are angry, and rightfully so, after last night's performance for many different reasons. Jay is in Hawthorne, New Jersey. What's up, Jay?
Charlotte, what's going on, man? How you guys doing?
How are you, Jay?
Good, good. So I've been listening in, and honestly, I can't accept the Tibbs kicking his back in. I mean, this guy, to me, is the one who, you know, established the culture and got us back to the old Knick ways I think we all appreciate. And I know there's going to be some decisions that people are questioning, but I think the bigger issue is, you know, the identity of some of the guys in that rotation. I think, you know, he can't make guys make the extra pass. You know, he can't, you know, force guys to get on the floor a little bit more and get those loose balls and get the bounces that we were getting in the previous year. And I think if you lose Tibbs, I think a lot of the old energy that we've all been waiting for, probably 20 years worth now, like, you lose that. So I think the Tibbs talk is tough. He's the coach. Obviously, he's going to be the guy that everyone, you know, is looking to speak on. But I think the bigger issue is, you know, Cat and Bridges, to me, are kind of trying to find their way in this group. I mean, I think last year, you know, not to get too deep into last year's team, but I think that last year, things just seemed to be a lot more cohesive. And this year, it seems very disjointed. And obviously, that includes some of the decisions that Tibbs is making.
Jay, I think that's a good call. I really do. I disagree with where you are with Tom Thibodeau, but I can certainly recognize that he is a culture builder and that he's a good coach. I think where you and I would splinter off in different directions is that I believe there's a limit to that. You know, I don't think there's another level. I think this is his ceiling. This was his ceiling with the Bulls. You know, we know his ceiling with the Minnesota Timberwolves. I believe, you know, if they get out of this round, the next round, this is ceiling with the Knicks. And, you know, you've been around 20-something years. You're 65 years old, whatever you are. It's not an age thing. It's just a belief in his ability to elevate further, which you seem to have more than me.
Yeah, I'm more with Jay. I love the fact that he built this culture. I love where he comes from. You know, he's a Van Gundy disciple, so I love all that. I believe in that. I don't believe he is the problem with this team. I don't believe that the Knicks will win a championship after moving on from him. However, I acknowledge that they're going to get to a point, probably sooner than later, where they're going to feel the need to try to elevate this team any way they can. They felt that they did that with the moves of Towns and Bridges. And if that didn't work, and it's not going to this year, then maybe they're going to feel the need to do it with the head coach. And they could bring him alone. I still think it's going to be the same issue. It's just going to be, you'll know at least more definitively, okay, well, Tibbs is gone. Now let's see what the proven championship head coach can do with Malone. And then when he doesn't get it done, it's going to be like, all right, well, we at least tried everything. So I'm open to that idea. I do not believe it's going to be the answer. And I do feel bad for Tibbs in a way, although he didn't do himself any favors last night.
No, he didn't. I mean, Jalen, why don't you sit this out, buddy? It's a preseason game. Oh, it's a playoff game? Maybe I'll get you back
in. But you make it sound like he sat him down. He didn't do that. Jalen left again.
Well, when I say sat him down, I mean he let him sit there and just, you know, marinate.
He was hurt.
Well, he wasn't hurt when he was trying to get back in the game.
Well, why did he leave?
Well, he left because he got hurt, and then he came back like he does every game,
imagine,
and he was ready to play,
okay.
And he just didn't decide. He decided not to burn the timeout.
What do the Knicks have, Mr. Miyagi on their coaching staff?
They were good needles. I don't know what the hell they're doing back
Jalen Brunson
then,
goes back into the locker room, and he comes back out like Superman every time. So now he can't walk. He's hobbled during play. They have to get him off the floor, which they do, have to sit him down. That's not Tibbs' fault. That's Brunson. And all of a sudden, magically, a minute later, whatever it is in real time, 2 minutes later, he's back and he's okay. Like,
yeah, basically.
Then don't leave.
Well, but those are two different.
It's going to take 2 minutes to heal a broken ankle? That's
No. I do wonder what happens back there, because sometimes it looked like these guys need to get scraped off the court with a spatula. And then they come out and they're pretty bouncy. But independent of that, you know this. You've watched this forever. You know that when a, not a role player, when a star player gets hurt and leaves the court or even goes to the end of the bench, when he walks on his own volition past the coach to the scorer's table, what he's saying, that's code for, put me in. And he didn't.
Mike is in Kings Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, Mike.
Tough game to watch, I say, as a Knicks fan. A couple things. I do agree with you, Sai. I think, like, it was very unfortunate that there wasn't a dead ball. I think Tibbs was trying to have his cake and eat it, too.
Yep.
Keep the timeout, get them back in. And, you know, it may come back to bite him. Hopefully it doesn't in the series. But I think that's what it was going through his mind, just got away from him. But this, I don't think Tibbs is getting out-coached this series at all. I think the players aren't playing. Dennis Schroeder has put his fingerprints on a game, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tobias Harris has put his fingerprints on a game in the series. Where is Bridges putting his fingerprints on a game? Deuce McBride has been...
Well, hold on. The answer for one of those questions with Bridges was Sunday, when he knocked down massive threes in the fourth quarter on the road.
Yeah, but still, that Paul Anthony Towns had a bigger game there.
Don't win without Bridges on Sunday.
I'm just saying,
like he had some contributions. Hey, that's all I'm saying.
And maybe if he hit a three in the first quarter, in the first half of that game, the Knicks would have blown them out by 40. Like
exactly, Sal. That's my point. Fair enough. I'll give him that he made some big shots in that game. Okay, fine.
Okay.
But he misses so many momentum swinging shots throughout the course of this game, where it's like, the Knicks shouldn't be in some of these positions with the open looks that McBride and Bridges have missed this game. And then with Towns, I'm sorry, closeout game, you score 17 points, you're going one-on-one against Tobias Harris. You got to be better than that.
That's what I'm saying, of course.
Harris played him tough, man. I don't know what you want me to tell you. You don't think Harris has been a tough player this series?
I do, and I respect the career that he's had. Tobias Harris is 4 to 5 inches smaller. You got to take him to school, and you got to punish him.
But he did.
Could barely get 17 points.
Okay, Brunson had 16.
I'm not talking about Brunson.
Well, why not?
Because the caller just brought up Tobias Harris, so I'm reacting to that.
Fair enough. What's going on with Brunson? What was his excuse last night?
He didn't play well. There is no excuse.
Okay, but that's the point. Like, the Knicks have multiple stars. It can't just be, well, Carl Anthony Towns stinks. He only scored 17. He had a better game than Brunson.
Okay,
he was more efficient. He's going up more of a defensive challenge.
Yep.
And he was better than Brunson was last
night. Can you imagine if we were sitting here in the mid-90s like Mike and Chris, and Patrick Ewing had 17 points, right? And he was going up against a guy, instead of going up against Rick Smits, who was 7'4", and then every other monster that just knocked the crap out of each other in the 90s like he did, he went against somebody who was 6'7". And he didn't even really do anything.
Who's the star of this team?
It's co-star. The main star is Brunson.
Yeah, right. Ewing was the star of the team. That's why we focused on that. If Ewing had a fraction of player.
But we focus on Carl Anthony Towns when he plays great. It can't be selective.
No, it's not
selective. It can't be selective focus.
Carl Anthony Towns to me wasn't the problem last night. He scored 17.
He wasn't the answer.
Fine.
That's my point.
He was efficient.
No, he wasn't.
Last night, he absolutely was.
He didn't shoot the ball well. Look what he shot. I don't have it in front of me.
He was 5 of 14.
Okay, 5 of 15 is 33%. How is that good?
5
of 10 is 50%.
Hold on.
He didn't shoot well, Sal?
He was 5 of 14.
That stinks.
2 of 4 from downtown.
All right, that's good.
5 of 6 from the free throw line.
Okay, I got you.
Big bad Brunson. Big bad.
I'm not saying Brunson.
Big bad Brunson.
He didn't play well. I'm giving you that.
But let's criticize him, for goodness sake. It's a game 5 closeout. Mr. Clutch. You know what he's famous for again? Hobbling off the court when they needed him the most. And I love Jalen Brunson, but if you're going to pick on Carl Anthony Towns, I'm going to push back. Yeah, he wasn't very good. Brunson was 4 of 16, 1 of 4 from downtown, 7 of 10 from the free throw line. And one hobbled off the court again with 2 minutes to go. I mean, good God. I'm not trying to criticize the guy. It happens, but you're criticizing Cat, who was clearly more efficient last night.
Only because, as I've said, Brunson, for me, has a lot more equity. So I'll give him a little room to bounce back, because that's an outlier for him. Whereas Carl's been sporadically dominant here. Brunson's been much more consistent, number one. And number two, again, the guy just in front of 19,000 people the other, I don't know if it was a trophy, whatever acknowledgement he got as the NBA Clutch Player of the Year, he didn't have a chance to influence the game because his coach wouldn't put him in.
In the final 2 minutes or whatever
but
it was.
That's where the game was decided.
Well, they were
down by 2, 97-95.
Could have been decided before that.
Well, I mean, listen, you can always look at a sequence of events in the first, if this happened in the second quarter, I get that.
He had a third quarter, a fourth quarter.
But we always focus on the last couple of minutes. You know this. That's just the way it goes in the NBA.
We didn't think that last night would come down to that.
We didn't, but it did, which means we can react to it.
And why did it come down to that?
Well, because nobody played well. The coach had an awful night. And I'm not saying it's just Carl Anthony Towns' fault. I haven't said that at all.
No, I know.
All I'm saying is when the caller brings up Tobias Harris and I say the dude's 6'7", and Carl Anthony Towns is 7'1", 285, stick his ass in the post and eat him alive.
Yeah. I don't know what more you want from him.
I want him to do what I just said. Bury his ass in the post
but everybody else
eat him alive.
Everybody else. They're not just going to feed Carl Anthony Towns the whole game.
Why not? If you got a 5-inch, 55-pound advantage, do it.
Harris was being physical with
him. He's tough, Sal. I respect him as a pro. He's good, and he's gotten better as the series gone on.
I mean, why is – here's a bigger issue. Why is Mitchell Robinson even attempting 8 field goals?
Well, a lot of them, and by the way, he made a lot of them were stick back dunks,
and that was only that he got up. How many opportunities did the Knicks try to go down him? Like, there was a lot that was wrong with the Knicks' offense last night.
I don't disagree with that.
It was more balanced. Yeah, but to me, the most efficient or one of the more efficient players was Carl Anthony Towns. I just didn't think that was the night to pick on him. You could get on for other stuff. To me, that would not be one. Dave is calling from Rockville Center. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Dave.
You know, the Knicks are going to live and die by Brunson doing it by himself. Now, I'm not going to get on Brunson because that's heresy, but I might get on him a little bit. He doesn't have a solid bench behind him, and the Knicks are missing key pieces. We know that. But there's still a basketball team. There's still 4 other guys on the court. Brunson is obviously not coached to move the ball around the court. They don't have a half-court game. I'm talking about if they're stuck in the mud after a few bad sequences. I'm talking about passing the ball, round robin, body movement, quick passing. Even if the ball comes back to Brunson, and that's where I get on tips. Even if you have 5 terrible guys on the court, the least you could do is pass the ball around.
Yep. Well, but okay? Dave, hold on. Well, stick with me, Dave, because I want to volley something back to you. Like Tom Thibodeau, and we could debate your ceiling, and that's all fair game. I respect everybody's opinion. You guys have mine. But the one thing that is indisputable is his background is defense. He is a defensive coach. So when we sit here and say, well, there's no ball movement, there's no offensive creativity, yet no kidding, because he's not an offensive guy.
Well, I'm not a defensive coach or an offensive coach, and I know that you need to move the ball around. So what Brunson does at the end of the game is very predictable. Bounce the ball up and down, up and down. He's in isolation. If he's on, he'll do something spectacular. Mm. If he's not on, what will he do? He'll drive to the rim, make a bad pass, and turn the ball over.
Yeah, but hold on. Now, Dave, hold on.
Let me just make the last.
But I think that that's an unfair characterization. You make it seem as if the way you frame that, and I'm literally responding, so maybe I'm off base here, but the way you frame that, you make it seem like there's far more failures by Jalen Brunson than
In a tight game, Brunson in isolation is not an end-of-the-game strategy.
He's the most clutch guy in the NBA.
That's true. But when he's off, he's not off that much.
And
so here's what I think he needs. When Brunson is on the court, look, Brunson doesn't create team offense. We need a true point guard who's a 1/2, and Brunson is a 1A. If Brunson had a guy, I mean, listen, there's no Magic Johnsons anymore, but if he had a point guard who was 6'5", 6'6", who could also play the 2, but his primary role was the 1, I think Brunson would be much better complemented by that kind of a guy.
Might be.
Brunson does not create.
Might be. That's interesting. But if it's like a conventional 6'2 or 6'3 point guard, and again, he's not on the roster right now, that's not going to fly because you got 2 guys under 6'3", and, you know, this isn't 1974 where that might work in terms of size mismatches here.
The Knicks should have a team of guys that could swing the ball around the perimeter and knock down 3s and keep it moving, keep it crisp, and they do not do that.
Yeah.
And that is part of the problem, and I think I'm with the caller on that, where, you love Brunson down the stretch, but you can't rely on that. He's not Michael Jordan! He's not. His size, the creativity, it's just not there. Yeah, the angles are great. Jalen Brunson has been asked to do far too much for the Knicks. That's why the appeal of Carl Anthony Towns came into play. You should lessen the burden. That's why when you have Anunoby and Bridges, it's to lessen the burden on Jalen Brunson. Yet we're in the same spot again where it's, oh, you need Brunson. How could the Knicks win without Jalen Brunson down the stretch? It shouldn't be that way. Or if they do have Brunson on the floor, well, it's got to go through Brunson. He's got to be the guy. It shouldn't be that way.
But, Sal, is it really that different from any other elite NBA team? Like, if Anthony Edwards is not involved, Minnesota's not going anywhere. If Jalen Brown might stick some 3s, but if Tatum's completely uninvolved or just really off, the Celtics are a very different team. Same with Donovan Mitchell. Same with Luka in Dallas when he was in shape. And same with LeBron when he was young, whether it was here, the Cavs or the late, whatever.
Brunson's not the scorer like, that those guys are, though.
But he's more clutch. I could say that he is the scorer that he is. He's more efficient.
Okay, so then you think he's on par with the top stars in this game?
I definitely do. Yeah. I just think he's different. Right. Oh, I think he's an absolute superstar. So,
then there should be no restrictions as far as him being a championship
yes,
team.
Yes, well, the only restriction is if your coach doesn't play him.
Right, so then that's where we get back to the fundamental. You think that it's more the coach. I think that it's more the team.
It's a good way to encapsulate the main difference there. Well, I mean, that's a good way. Now, I don't think the team's perfect, but
with a different coach, they could be a championship team with these core players.
Yeah.
Right. I do not believe that that's the case. BT and Sal on the Fan. Come back, a little three random questions for you as well as your calls, 888-808-1019.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On the Fan.
All right, here we go, BT. A little 3RQ on this Wednesday morning. As always at 11:40. Number one, is it acceptable to wear glasses indoors? Sunglasses indoors.
I think it depends who you are. You know, not my look. It's not my style. I mean, if you're an athlete, I mean, I wouldn't do it, but they all do it. I saw Carl Anthony Towns rocking them last night. He's not alone. You know, I guess you're in a club or you're in a certain spot. Yeah, a lot of people do it. I think it's idiotic myself.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm also 51.
Yeah, but I also think it's idiotic even dating back to 10, 15 years ago. Now, I didn't notice Carl Anthony Towns doing it. What made me think of this question was Russell Wilson.
Well, sitting, I didn't see Russell. What?
Sitting courtside again, Russell Wilson. Nah, I think he took him off at some point, but he had him on.
Oh, no. Russell, I missed that. How did I miss that?
First of all, like, Russell Wilson, dude, stop going to the game. Sitting. And if he is going to go to the games, he's going to be at everyone. He's already wanting to be seen a lot of stuff. If he is going to do it, can he show up with one of his current teammates like Aaron Rodgers did?
Yeah.
When Rodgers was on the scene, he was doing it with his teammates. Russell Wilson showing up with Sierra. He showed up with Justin Tuck last night. Former Giant, yeah. Not a current Giant. So anyway, something about Russell Wilson
rubs
me the wrong way.
He's corny.
And a part of that is wearing sunglasses inside when you sit in courtside.
I didn't see that. I may have zipped through that, like, you know, because we had a baseball game last night, so I didn't look at my phone.
Right.
Coaching third base the entire time. So we got home, and then I didn't walk in the door until about 8:50, not knowing the score of the Knicks.
Right.
So I zoomed through every commercial, so I must have maybe missed that for a second, as maybe I zipped through a stoppage as well. Oh, my God, dude. First of all, this guy's got to learn fast that he means nothing to New York.
Like,
who do you think you are? You don't have an ounce of equity.
He thinks he's...
Just keep it moving.
He thinks he's a superstar about to take over this town. I bet otherwise. All right, number two, boxers or briefs?
Oh, definitely boxers. Definitely briefs. Pardon me. Not tidy whities. I mean, yeah, this to me.
We were having this conversation last week.
You said something about you were wearing tidy whities one time.
I remember,
we can't get into that story.
Use your imagination. I mean, you know, it was the first. I grew up wearing the tidy whitey, the old the blue and yellow, like Hanes or whatever.
Fruit of Loom?
Yeah, we all had those back in the day.
Sure. Right.
So that's what I was wearing, and then I learned after, you know.
First time Sal was.
First intimate experience. Where
you had tidy whiteys on?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you had a second experience. I don't think you did with her. Either way, without being too crude here, Sal.
Yeah. Right.
It's funny. There was a point, maybe in college, where, like, I remember my mom would get me, like, boxers for Christmas. Like, it was definitely a style.
Yeah.
But I never felt secure just bouncing around too much. And I like to feel athletic, even though I got these pencil legs. So every pair of underwear that I have are the stretch briefs. Like, they come down. Some actually come right above the knee.
Right.
Almost like the spandex.
Oh, wow. Okay,
yeah, and then some come up, like, mid-thigh. I don't own a pair of boxers. I will never wear them. They bunch up. Number one, they don't secure anything in the front. They bunch up in the back. No, thank you, but you seem to love them.
Yeah, well, after that unfortunate experience, I learned quickly that I better transition to boxers here. And it took a little while to get acclimated, but yeah, I've been a boxer guy ever since. Although the reason why we were having this conversation off the air is because I tried out a Shinesty pair.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Gelb had one for me, and I was like, yeah, let me. And it was the most comfortable thing ever. And I'm like, man.
It's the first time you've ever.
Boxer briefs. I may have had them before, but I didn't like the tight feeling.
I love the tight feeling.
Yeah, but after you go to boxers, there's like an element of, you know, enjoying the freedom.
Sure, sure.
But the Shinesty was like a nice balance of both where I felt the freedom but also secure.
Yeah, the party's not that crowded, but it's just crowded enough.
Exactly right. So I think I'm transitioning now to a boxer brief guy.
Got a boy, Sal.
All right, last one here for you. Give me your favorite video game of all time. You referenced Atari the other day. It made me think
like
of
what did I really truly lock in on, man?
Showing your age with Atari.
Of course
reference.
I am. Yeah. I mean, I used to love, you know what? I would probably say Space Invaders.
Okay.
I was good at that, man. I used to dominate. I was really good in Donkey Kong. I was really good at Ms. Pac-Man. I'm definitely showing the age here.
Now, did you,
I liked Pitfall quite a bit. I loved all the
Pitfall,
sports games.
There you go.
Of course. But
the sports games?
Well, that's all they had at the time.
Did
I
you
mean,
ever
sure.
get into Nintendo? Was
that? Yeah, I got into Nintendo, sure.
Did you have a favorite game from there?
I think it was Donkey Kong.
Okay.
I liked Contra quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
I would play one guy, my buddy would play the other, and you have all the different weapons.
Yeah,
that was a good game for me. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, probably the baseball. I mean, same thing. Like, I remember growing up watching Love and Mario. Mario Brothers was the first game, so any of those, Mario 1, 2, and 3. But all the sport, like Baseball Stars was in.
I remember that.
Okay,
I remember Baseball Stars.
Little,
I liked it.
Because our 5-year difference.
Oh, that's huge in video games.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Exactly. In video games, it's almost a lifetime. It's a different generation.
Is. Yeah.
So Baseball Stars, I remember playing quite a bit. So, man, I don't know if I could pick one. It would be tough.
You know
Zelda
what?
I got into.
I never played Zelda once, I don't think.
Okay.
Really. Now that I think about it, I'm going to stick with some of the answers I gave. But I got one, by the way. I can't leave this out. Like, what was the first? Was it Tiger Woods? When I was in college, the first, we would come back from practice.
PlayStation?
Yes.
Okay.
Pack a fat dip. Probably not go to class that day. Or that night. And we got so good at the at golf, we would talk smack and we would as we're swinging, like you got to get the one bar and the other bar, you know, left to right, you got to match it up with the bar. 7 mile per hour wind, a little left to right. Let me get a little 185 iron, bang, bang, bang. We would talk smack and actually get hole in one. We would play for money. We were a buck a hole or $2 a hole.
You used to have some really good golf games. Oh. PGA Tour golf for Genesis, I think, was one I would play with my buddy.
Yeah.
You could play TPC Sawgrass.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What was yours? You were saying
number one video game. It just came to me. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Oh, that you know what? That's a great call.
I mean,
me too.
I remember going through those battles with those guys and figuring out the
Who was the toughest one for you?
I don't think I ever got past on my own. I probably got up to Sandman.
But there were multiple versions. You'd start with Glass Joe, and then later in the
King
sequence.
King Hippo, Don Flamingo.
Yeah, Flamingo
Piston
had the rose
Honda.
In his mouth, right?
Yeah,
he was a stiff, man.
Yeah. But that video game, I remember the Tiger dude.
Yes, he would bounce around the ring. Tiger.
I forget his name.
God.
Yeah,
that was fun. But as you got deeper into the game, you would play like Don Flamingo, and it was like the second version.
Okay. Became tougher. That would probably be my number one. All right, there you go. A little three random questions.
And I love Tetris, too.
Okay. I like that for Game Boy. I would play
That's what I mean.
Not for Nintendo.
No,
for
never
Game
played
Boy,
it once on Nintendo.
Handle. David is in Maplewood, New Jersey. What's up, David?
David?
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen.
What's
how are
up,
you?
David?
David, sir. How are you?
Okay, listen. I don't think the last 2 minutes of the game really had the most impact. The missed free throws alone would have won them the game. They should spend 2 days straight just practicing free throws. Also, Hart should not take an outside shot. He's good in the paint, and he's good at driving to the basket, but he can't shoot from the outside.
But Dave, this is one of the fundamental issues there, and thanks for the call, with the Knicks construction. We all love Josh Hart. We love his motor. We love his toughness. We love his all-around game. Can't shoot. Now, he's been a little streaky here, and he knocked down a couple in the last few games here. My problem is, it's about the accuracy, but it's also more about an unwillingness to shoot because too often Knicks wind up playing 4-on-5 where he's not even a threat to shoot. And your point about free throws, you don't think they're practicing, man? I got news for you. You can lock Mitchell Robinson in a gym by himself. And you say the only way you are getting out of this gym is if you hit 70% out of 100 free throws. And until you do it, you will not get a sip of water or a morsel of food. And he would drop dead in the gym from starvation and a lack of water because it's not happening.
He still should not be that bad. He said he's worked on it.
Oh, it's gross.
I don't understand how somebody could be that bad at shooting free throws. Shaq even got himself to where he was respectable. Mitchell Robinson could figure it out. I mean, you got to be better. His form's all over the place. His inconsistency. You could tell that. However he thinks he's working on it,
yep.
It's not nearly enough.
Shoot underhand.
As for whatever.
I'm dead serious.
Figure it out. Whatever. You got to be more.
Shoot underhand.
But that plays to the point about why I don't believe that this team has it. There are too many of those, whether it's Mitchell Robinson, who I like, but you've seen the worst fears come to fruition. He shouldn't be on the floor that many minutes, and he certainly shouldn't be trying to. They were trying to feed him the ball last night. And then when he does get fouled, obviously he's going to go to the line. He's going to miss more than he's going to make. Whether it's that, whether it's Josh Hart from beyond the arc, I don't mind Josh Hart shooting a few times a night.
I think he has to just to keep it, the integrity of
correct.
The spacing.
And he'll make some, he'll miss some. But yeah. With all the other options there, the Knicks make it seem too difficult to score points with the amount of skilled players that they have. It should not be that hard. There should be better spacing. There should be better ball movement.
Mm-hmm.
They have guys who should be better shooters. Even guys who are missing open looks, whether it's Ananobi, not last night, but Ananobi in this series, or Bridges who misses way too many open looks all the time. I'd rather have... Instead of Bridges with his talent that could take it inside, outside, play perimeter defense, I'd rather have a guy that's just a sharpshooter and that's it.
Most good teams do.
A Novak type. And
like
just,
a Buddy Hield type.
Whatever. Yeah, just
somebody like that.
Let him line up and knock down threes all night.
Craig Hodges, yeah. Steve Kerr.
Whatever. Because
Tucker.
I think they would benefit more with that than the potential of Bridges being a star.
That's an excellent point because the sheer threat of a shooter, a true shooter, a marksman, being left open, you got to be much more selective in when you run doubles at Brunson or Towns. And by the way, my dad made me shoot free throws underhand. I have to tell you that.
No.
In the fourth grade. I remember we're in the park, and I was just too little to reach. I wasn't strong enough to really reach, and I would kind of jack it from the hip. And you know how young kids shoot free throws? He's like, oh, Rick Barry. This is how long ago this was. He's like, it was good enough for Rick Barry. And in the fourth grade, I actually shot free throws underhanded.
And how'd that work out for you?
Probably among the best on the team.
And did you get away from that eventually?
Very quickly.
Yeah,
but I learned how to shoot it like a man.
BT.
I'm not going to let you know, I mean, come on.
BT and Sal, all the fan. We'll come back. Reset.
Fifth grade girls at the games eventually, Sal. I can't be shooting underhanded.
Understood. And maybe that's why Mitch doesn't want to do that.